companions, believers, the stories we hear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message, in which we discuss many accounts from the Holy Quran, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have left behind for you and I to follow in their legacy. And mashallah, today we do have a very thought-provoking topic of discussion, an insightful one. And that is illuminating our grave. Yes. So this is what we are going to be discussing today, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession on the day of Qiyamah. So that is all collectively with full of love. Send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I the wealth of Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you and I from the nation and the ummah of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with that, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us countless blessings, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And it's important for you and I to be grateful for that. Allah ta'ala granted us this life, dear viewers of Madani Channel. We are in this dunya, we are in this world, we live in this world, and of course we gotta work to get an earning in order to support ourselves and support our families as well. We have vehicles that we can, you know, go from point A to point B. We have a home, alhamdulillah, with shelter over our head, bed to sleep on, you know, etc. We have all of these. And have you ever wondered that, you know, when the lights go off, or a bulb burst, and in that darkness, from light, it transitioned to darkness, and you become restless, you become uneasy, and if you have children, and they also start to cry. Why? Because no one is used to the dark. No one is comfortable in being in the dark. So what does a person do? A person will go to the shop to buy a bulb, or if it's load shedding, then a person will light a candle and keep it there, or put a lamp on so that there is light in the home. And when there is light in the home, everyone is comfortable and everyone is to some extent relaxed. Now imagine that we go to this extent to make sure that we have light in our home. We pay the bills for our lights and water to make sure that our lights and water don't get cut. There's no lights, as I mentioned, and we have a candle or a lamp so that we gain comfort by it. Now the question is, devotees of Madani Channel, that we have to ask ourselves, what sort of light have we prepared for our grave? What plans are we making, or what are we doing to illuminate our qabr? To illuminate our grave, for our grave to be lit up and filled with noor. This is our final abode, dear viewers of Madani Channel. This is our final home. This is where we are going to be at the end. So what preparations have you and I did for that? Now I want to mention to you a very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that may the disbelieving man be destroyed. How ungrateful he is. From what did he create him? From a drop of liquid. He created him and then set various measures for him. Then eased the way for him. Then gave him death. Then had him put in the grave. Then when he willed, he resurrected him. Never. He, meaning the disbeliever, has not yet completed what he has commanded, meaning the acceptance of faith. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, these verses of the Holy Quran beautifully describe our state and the reality of our lives. Today, there is strength in our arms. We are in a state of well-being. We possess intellect, akal, and hold positions. Whether a person is an engineer, doctor, businessman, police, prince, or soldier, the question arises. And we should ponder over this question. The question is, what was everyone's beginning? What was your beginning? What was my beginning? And we see, a drop of liquid. Allah Ta'ala laid down the earth as a spread for you and I, raised the sky as a canopy, and prepared for us countless blessings even before we entered this world. Then, from a drop of liquid, He created a living, breathing human and sent him into this world. This is our reality and origin. Now, will we abide here forever? Will we be staying here forever? No. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then gave him death and then had him put in the grave. And soon, Malak al-Maut alayhi salam, the angel of death will come. The soul will be extracted from the body. And our loved ones will lower us into a dark grave. And they will leave. Then, is that the end for us? No. Then, when He willed, He resurrected them. Allahu Akbar. So, yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is truly something for you and I to ponder about. And now, alhamdulillah, before we go any further, let us rejuvenate our hearts, mind, bodies and soul by listening to a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine jane walo, jao jao, fi amanillah. Madine jane walo, jao jao, fi amanillah. Kabhi to apna bhi lag jayega bistar Madine mein. Na ho mayus, deewano, pukare jao tum unko. Na ho mayus, deewano, pukare jao tum unko. Bulayenge tumhe bhi ek din sarvar Madine mein. Sarvar Madine mein. Sochta hu main wo ghadi, kya jab ghadi hogi. Sochta hu main wo ghadi, kya jab ghadi hogi.
Jab dare nabi par hum sab ki hazri hogi. Jab dare nabi par hum sab ki hazri hogi. Sochta hu main wo ghadi, kya jab ghadi hogi.
Bane Madine mein aaka aarzu hai seene mein ghar bane Madine mein.
جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی بندہ پروری ہو
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی
بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے
سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی
سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی
دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی
بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو بلا لو اے میرے آقا میں آؤں آپ کے در پر کرم ہو اے میرے آقا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ what a heart touching beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and make those dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and also take us each and every one of us to Makkah al-Mukarramah Madinatul Munawwara time and time again inshallah Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing illuminating our graves. And just before going to listen to this melodious kalam, we have been listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran in which we come to know of our existence. Subhanallah, from a drop of liquid. And just before listening to the kalam, we have also mentioned that soon Malak al-Maut alayhi salam will come. Here the soul will be extracted from our bodies, and our loved ones, they will lower us into the dark grave, and they will leave. And then, is that the end for us? No, it is not. Because it's mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَارَ. Then, when He willed, He resurrected Him. A time will come when the graves will open, the dead will be resurrected and brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the accountability of actions will take place. So yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, this is the reality. Death hangs over our heads. The lonely pit of the grave and the terrifying plain on the day of judgment are before us. The angel of death alayhi salam is waiting for when a person's lifespan will come to an end, so that he can extract the soul. Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam has the horn raised to his lips, awaiting the command to blow it to signal the onset of the day of Qiyamah. What is our stake in all of this? How are we living our lives? Allah Ta'ala says, "Kalla lamma yaqdi ma amara." Never, he, meaning the disbeliever, has not yet completed what he was commanded, meaning the acceptance of faith. We have been commanded to establish the 5 daily salahs, but we do not offer all of them. Out of the 12 months, we are obligated to fast for only 1 month, but we are unable to keep them. Payment of zakat amounting to just 2.5% has been obligated upon the fulfillment of certain conditions, but we fail to offer it. We have been commanded to perform Hajj just once in our lifetimes if the conditions are found, yet we do not perform it. We have been commanded to recite the Holy Quran, recite wada'if, salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, obey our parents, maintain ties of kinship, have good conduct with neighbors and relatives, control our gaze, restrain our tongue, hand, heart, weigh and measure honestly, earn lawful halal income, and consume halal food. We have been taught how to live our lives and have been given guidance concerning every stage. However, our state is such that we have not fulfilled these commands and remain heedless, while death it stands over us. The terrifying pit of the grave lies before you and I, yet we do not rectify ourselves. We will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, yet we remain oblivious. So dear views of Madani channel, the affair of the grave is not easy. We may have seen many people pass away before our own eyes, but remember, dying is not easy. You and I may think that the person is laying there, final moments, soul is getting extracted, yet he can't even shout for help, can't even scream for help. Through all of that pain, have you ever wondered, thought of why? Have you ever shrouded a deceased person? Shrouding someone else is easy, but being shrouded is not. We may have carried a coffin, but lying in a coffin and being lifted is not easy. We may have lowered many people into their graves. Lowering someone else is easy, but being lowered into a grave is not easy. It is certainly, most definitely, the most difficult affair. Contemplate the moment if our soul is pulled out from our body like a thorny twig. is wrenched violently from a bundle of wool. Every single part of our body would be in pain. Pain that would be more intense than the strike of 1,000 swords. In this situation, there would be no one to comfort us. Our parents, children, siblings, and relatives, they would stand by our head, unable to help us, or left staring helplessly. So we would be unable to express our pain to anyone, unable to converse. Around us would be sounds of grief and crying. Our wealth, our bank balance, our cars, houses, strength, status, degrees would no longer be of any use. Our clothes, they will be removed from our bodies and a new shroud put over us. Our own loved ones will raise us up on their shoulders, lay us in a dark grave, pour soil over us and then leave. And we will hear their footsteps but not be able to call them. The pain will be like never experienced before, as will the loneliness, solitude. Yet, it will not stop here. These calamities will have just come to pass. We will only have arrived in our new abode, not yet accustomed to this new isolation, solitude. The pain of our souls being extracted will still be fresh when suddenly the sides of our grave, they will begin to shake. And two angels, Munkir and Nakir, they will tear through the walls, enter and begin interrogating us in a harsh tone. How terrible it will be for us if we are unable to answer the questions correctly. If we fail this test, the fire of hell will be lit in our graves and we will be subjected to punishment. What will become of us? Where will we go? Who will we call upon for help? Now Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu counseled a person by saying that, brother, do you know that death is before you and death will arrive suddenly? Who knows whether it will come upon you by morning or evening, by night or day? Then you will face a terrifying grave, Munkar and Nakir. Then the day of Qiyamah, in which the adherents of falsehood will face disgrace. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that remember death a lot. Remember death a lot, the cutter of pleasures. For indeed, there is no day that comes upon the grave except that it says, I am the house of estrangement. I am the house of solitude. I am the house of dust and I am the house of worms. When the believing slave is buried, the grave says to him, Marhaba, welcome. You are the most beloved of those who walked upon me. Since you have entered me today, you shall see how I treat you. And it will then widen for him as far as he can see, and a door to paradise will be opened for him. And when the wicked slave or the disbeliever is buried, the grave says to him, you are not welcome. To me, you were the most hated of those who walked upon me. Since you have entered today, you shall see how I treat you. And then the grave will begin closing in on him until it reaches him. And his ribs, they interlock with each other. The narrator mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illustrated this by interlacing his fingers and then said, Allah Ta'ala will appoint over him 70 huge serpents. If even one of them were to hiss on earth, nothing upon it would grow for as long as the world remained. They will bite him until the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that the grave is either a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of the fire. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from the azab of the qabr. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when the deceased is placed in the grave, it says to him, may you be ruined. Did you not know that I am an abode of tribulation, an abode of darkness, an abode of solitude, and an abode of insects? Oh man, which thing kept you heedless of me, such that you would walk upon me arrogantly? Allahu Akbar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when the deceased, the summary of this narration, when the deceased is placed in his grave, he sits up and he hears the footsteps of those who accompanied his funeral. First, his grave addresses him and says, O son of Adam, woe to you. Were you not warned about me? My constriction, stench, terror, etc. This is what I have prepared for today. So tell me, what have you prepared for me? Allahu Akbar. So we need to prepare for death. Dear views of Manjari Channel, we need to do actions here, good deeds here, to illuminate our grave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, prepare for your graves. Because the grave calls out 7 times a day. Oh weak man, have mercy on yourself during your life before you meet me. Will you have mercy upon yourself when you are decaying in me? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah says, whoever remembers the grave often will find it to be a garden from the gardens of paradise, and the one who is heedless of it will find it to be a pit from the pits of hell. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we did not come into this world to live here permanently. We came here to leave it one day. Whatever we do in the end, we will have to leave and enter the pit of the grave. That is where success lies, in preparing for the grave and the hereafter. This world, this dunya, is not for eating, not for drinking only and accumulating wealth and building mansions, living in a luxury way, passing the days in you know, useless activities. Rather, it is for performing good deeds in preparation for the grave, the hereafter. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said in his final sermon that Allah ta'ala granted you this world only so that you could prepare for the hereafter through it, and not so that you become attached to it. I mean, you and I, we here, we gotta be here, live here, but prepare for the hereafter through this world, through this dunya. This dunya, this world is a suburb, is a means, a way for you and I to prepare for the hereafter. It was not designed or created that we become attached to it. You know, this world is temporary, and the hereafter, that is eternal, that is forever. So he says, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that beware lest the brief world divert you from the everlasting hereafter. He says, do not give preference to the temporary world over the everlasting hereafter, as the world is about to be lost, and you must return to Allah. He says, fear Allah, as fearing Him is a shield against His punishment and a means of reaching Him. Allahu Akbar. This is the reality, dear viewers of Madani Channel, in which all of this Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned in his final sermon. Now we see, we come to that aspect where we discuss actions that benefit in the grave. If you wish to change the loneliness and difficulties of the grave into safety and comfort, transform its darkness into illumination and gain salvation from its punishment, then we have to prepare for it now. And yes, there are some actions that we can adopt, implement to illuminate our graves and save ourselves from the loneliness and discomfort of the grave. But before we actually go on to discuss those aspects, we do have a very beautiful piece of nasiha, a very beautiful piece of advice. So let us go and listen to this, and thereafter we will be back inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam states, la tadkhuluna al-jannah hatta tu'minu. You shall not attain Jannah until you have believed. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you have not truly believed until you have loved one another. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not tell you about an action? When you do it, you will love one another. أَفْشُ السَّلَامْ بَيْنَكُمْ. What is this? What shall build love amongst you? Give salam to one another. How beautiful is that? So simple. So simple. True belief is in a way from giving salam to saying assalamu alaikum. Be the first to say it's a sunnah. It's a prayer of peace. It's a sign of brotherhood. Yes, it's a sunnah that builds unity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would spread salam to everyone, of course, whether young, whether old, whether rich, whether poor, friend, stranger, because peace is what our religion is. Peace is what creates love. Love is a foundation of our faith. Today, let's revive this forgotten sunnah. Be the first to say salam. He would always be the first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say it sincerely. Because every time you do, angels record your words. This is an act of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your heart with love for others. And with true belief, inshallah wa azza wa jal. So don't be afraid to give salam. Say, assalamu alaikum. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله what a beautiful piece of advice. That is something that, you know, it's so beautiful that you and I, we should try and act upon it. We should try and implement it in our lives and also spread it out to others as well, because knowledge is something that empowers us. And of course, we want good for others, so we should also share beneficial knowledge. And in that way, we would be empowering others as well, inshallah. Well, alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing illuminating our grave. And thus far, we have mentioned some thought-provoking narrations for some beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it makes us, you know, really, really think that it is about time. You know, it's never ever too late. And you still have, as long as you're breathing, it's never ever too late. You and I both, we can still, you know, make the change for the better. We can still better our lives because we still have time. But the deceased person, their time has been terminated. And we can make really good use of this time. And before going to listen to this beautiful piece of advice, we have mentioned that there are some actions that if you and I have and we do, then inshallah it will illuminate our grave. The first is for you and I to adopt sound, correct beliefs. First action, yes, for us to hold the correct beliefs and always hold on to them, because the original test in the grave will be based on what? It will be based on your creed, your belief. Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, etc. They will also be accounted for. But on the day of Qiyamah, in the grave, there will be three questions. Man Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Ma Kunta Taqulu Fi Haqqi Hadha Ar-Rajul. That who is your Rabb? What is your religion? And what did you used to say about this personality? Meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, these three questions, they are all creedal in nature. Therefore, we have to always ensure that our beliefs are unshakable. Always ensure that your beliefs regarding Allah Ta'ala, the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the divinely revealed books, the prophets and messengers, the angels, the prophetic companions, alayhim ridwan, the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim ridwan, are in line with the beliefs held by the prophetic companions and the awliya Allah and Sunni scholars over the centuries. If we adopt the correct Islamic beliefs and remain steadfast upon them, inshallah, we will be saved from the punishment of the grave. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed, when the people return after placing the deceased into his grave, he hears their footsteps. Then he is sat up and asked, "Who is your Rabb?" So he replies, "Allah." Then it is said to him, "What is your religion?" He responds, "Islam." Then it is said to him, "Who is your prophet?" So he answers, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then it is said to him, "What did you know about him?" So he says, "I recognized him and affirmed the book he brought." Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that then his grave is expanded as far as one can see, and his soul is placed with the souls of the believers. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, viewers of Madani channel, we have heard that there will be three questions in the grave. All of them are about creed. If we remain firm in our beliefs and ensure that, you know, they are in accordance with the beliefs of the Sahaba, with the Ashab, with the Awliya Allah, with the scholars, inshallah, you and I will be successful in the test of the grave. And it will become a garden from the gardens of paradise for us, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Now, the second thing that will illuminate our grave and save us from its punishment is to memorize the questions that will be asked in the grave with their answers as well. Repeat them often in this dunya, in this world. Memorize it, keep on reading it and reminding yourself of it, so that they become, you know, second nature to you. And inshallah, when the angels question us, then we will be blessed by instinctively answering with what we memorized in this world. Now, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As you will be questioned concerning these matters in the grave, habitually recite these words," and that was, "La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wallahu rabbuna wal Islam deenuna wa Muhammadan nabiyuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Allah is our Rabb, Islam is our religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our prophet. Memorize these. What a beautiful dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what beautiful words Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told you and I, in order for you and I to memorize it and to teach our children as well. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Learn your proofs. For indeed, you are to be questioned." You know, these words had such an impact, to the extent that when a person from amongst the Ansar would near death, and also when a child reached the age of maturity, became baligh, then the people of the household, they would counsel him. And they would say that when they, meaning the angels, ask you, "Who is your Rabb?" that you must say, "Allah is my Rabb." When they ask you, "What is your religion?" then you must say, "Islam is my religion." And when they ask you, "Who is your prophet?" then you must say that, "My prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Look at how they just heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "Learn your proofs, for indeed you are to be questioned." And it had such an impact on them that they would learn it, they would memorize it, they would make themselves familiar and habitual of it, that not only themselves, but they would teach their children as well. The Ansar, they would teach their children from a young age, 7-8 years old, or 10, they would teach their children these questions, "Ma Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Ma Kunta Taqulu Fi Haqqi Hadha Rajul," and together they would tell them the answers to it as well. So from time to time, you and I, we should revise these questions and the answers and have our children memorize them as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, there was one sheikh, and he said that he saw Sayyidina Yazid bin Harun rahimahullah in a dream. And he said that Munkar and Nakir, they came, they got me up, and meaning they set me up, and they questioned me. They asked me, who is your Rabb, and what is your religion, and who is your Prophet? So, he says that I began to shake off the soil from my white beard, and I said, that you're asking a person like me? He's telling the angels that I am Yazid bin Harun, and I spent 60 years in the world teaching people the answers to these questions. Then one of the angels, they said that he has spoken the truth. And it was then said to me that sleep like a bridegroom, for there is no fear upon you after this day. Subhanallah, subhanallah. For 60 years, dear Mr. Fandini Channel, he has been teaching his questions with the answers to people. And look at his end. He got saved. He got protected by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then now we come to the third aspect, the third point. And that is, this third one is such a deed that, you know, it saves you. It saves you from loneliness, from difficulties of the grave. And that is the recital of the Holy Quran. Now, alhamdulillah, the Holy Quran is the most loyal companion. You know, when a person's friend, family members, siblings, and even parents leave him all alone in the grave and depart, the Holy Quran does not leave a person. It protects him from the punishment of the grave and intercedes for him before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that causes illuminating his grave. You know, there is a surah in the Holy Quran that protects its reciter from the punishment of the grave. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when a person enters the grave, punishment will approach him from his feet. So his feet will say that there is no way for you from my direction, because he would recite Surah Mulk at night. And then punishment will approach from towards his chest or his stomach, and his chest or stomach, they will say that there is no way for you from my direction, because he would recite Surah Mulk at night. Then the punishment will approach from his head, and his head will say that there is no way for you from my direction, because he would recite Surah Mulk at night. The surah is the preventer. It prevents the punishment of the grave. And it's known as Surah Al-Mulk. It's known as Surah Mulk in the Torah. And whoever recites it at night has performed a most excellent action. Subhanallah. And Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah, he mentions regarding Surah Mulk that there is nothing at all equal to the surah, Surah Mulk, in saving one from the punishment of the grave and granting ease as well. And he says that if the angels of punishment seek to approach its reciter, it prevents them. If they seek to approach it from another direction, then it becomes a barrier over there. And it says, do not approach him. Why? Because he used to recite me. The angels say that we have come upon the command of the one whose word you are. It says that, wait, do not approach him until I return. So it presents itself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and argues the case for its reciter to be granted forgiveness in such a way that creation does not possess the ability to do so. If there is delay in forgiveness, it pleads that he would recite me, yet you have not forgiven him. If I am not your word, remove me from your book. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, go, we have forgiven him. Allahu Akbar. And it immediately goes to Jannah, it goes to paradise, and it brings to the grave from there silk garments, brings comfortable cushions, some flowers and some scents, and says that it comes back to this person and tells the person that, I was delayed in returning. You were not anxious, were you? He wasn't worried. I hope he wasn't worried. I hope he wasn't anxious. And then it lays out, spreads and arranges the cushions, and the angels return upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, recite Surah Mulk every single night. And when you pass away, when you close your eyes, the same surah will protect you. The same surah will prevent you, will prevent the punishment of the grave. And the same surah will grant you forgiveness through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have heard, it will plead in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your forgiveness. MashaAllah, subhanAllah, in the beautiful environment of Da'awat Islami, we are taught, you know, to recite Surah Mulk every night. You know, in Jamiatul Madina, the students, after Salatul Isha, they recite Surah Mulk every single night without fail. What a beautiful teaching, dear viewers of Madani Channel. So also we should inculcate this in our homes as well. We should teach it to our children, make them memorize the surah. From a young age, when they're reciting every night, it will become second nature to them. They will form a habit of reciting Surah Mulk. So that was the third, reciting the Holy Quran in general, specifically Surah Mulk, to protect you and I from the punishment of the grave. Now we go on to the fourth part, and that is a very beautiful one. Such an act which transforms the darkness of the grave into light and turns its solitude, its loneliness into tranquility. That is giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that charity, deep charity, it extinguishes the heat of the grave for its donator. And indeed a believer will take shelter in the shade of his charity on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. So we too, you and I, we should make a habit of giving charity. You know, there are so much of rewards when you give charity, so much of benefits when you give charity. You know, a person may think that they only emptying out their pockets by giving charity, and the bank balance is only decreasing by giving charity. That's apparent, you know, apparently to other people's eyes it may seem like that, but in reality it is not. The more you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to you. You see a poor person, you come across someone who's not too well off, he is poor, and you, out of the, for the sake of Allah ta'ala, whatever the amount may be, the amount doesn't really matter. It's the quality that matters. You know, you may, a person may give 100 rand, and he wants others to see, he's flashing his notes in his hand, he wants others to see him giving that 100 rand, his intention was to show off. And you have another person who perhaps doesn't have much, but he took out a one rand, or he took out a 10 rand from his pocket, and sincerely, out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave that as sadaqah, as charity. Which one from the two holds more value? Of course, the person who gave 10 rand sincerely, not the one who gave 100 rand in order just to show off. So when it comes to sadaqah, when it comes to charity, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give wholeheartedly. Because by giving sadaqah, the virtue of it is such that it closes 70 doors of evil. Its donator will be in its shade on the day of Qiyamah. Your sadaqah, it protects against the heat of the grave. It extinguishes sins like how water extinguishes fire. It prevents calamities. Yes. It increases your life. It saves you from having a bad death, from having a bad end. It extinguishes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It expands provision and brings abundance in wealth. And it eliminates poverty. A person says, "Oh, I'm going to give sadaqah, I'm going to give charity, I'm going to end up in poverty and this and that." No, that's not the case. That's what people say, because according to them, apparently looks like that. But as I said, in reality, Allah Ta'ala grants barakah in your wealth. Allah Ta'ala increases your wealth for you by you and I giving sadaqah. So in short, charity, it opens many doors of goodness and closes many doors of evil. So you and I, we should give abundantly charity, sadaqah, for the betterment of our grave and the hereafter as well. And of course, there are some more actions that can help us, that can aid us in the grave. That is this giving zakat, if it is obligatory, keeping fast, having a good conduct with people. And these are also the means of being protected from the punishment of the grave. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the summary of this narration is that when the deceased is placed in the grave, he hears the footsteps of those who return, right? If he is a believer, his salah comes towards his head, his zakat to his right, his fasting to his left, and his other good actions, righteousness, and good conduct with people come towards his feet. So when punishment approaches from his head, his salah says that there is no way of entry from my direction. If it approaches from his right side, his zakat says that there is no way of entry from my direction. If it approaches from his left side, his fasting says that there is no way of entry from my direction. Then punishment approaches his feet. So what happens then? His good deeds, his piety, his good conduct with people say, there is no way of entry for you from this direction. Allahu Akbar. And how beautifully Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a man, the summary of this is that a man is approached by punishment in his grave. So when he is approached from the direction of his head, the recitation of the Quran, it repels that punishment. When he is approached from the direction of his hands, charity repels it. When he is approached from the direction of his feet, his walking to the masjid, it repels it. Charity remains in one corner and says, "As for me, if I see any opening for punishment to arrive, to advance, I will come in the way." Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, viewers of Madani Channel, implement, practice upon these actions, maintain correct, sound beliefs of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, always abundantly recite the Holy Quran, and review the questions that will be asked in the grave with its answers as well. Spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fast, give zakat, have good conduct with people, and have sabr as well, have patience. And apart from these, there are many other good deeds that protect us from the punishment in the grave and illuminate our grave. And we have reached the end, we have reached the conclusion of today's episode, Yubis of Madani Channel. Whatever we have learned today, let us not only keep it to ourselves, but rather spread it out to others, inshallah. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.